And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
15. On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, we'll discuss Cody Bellinger's revival and a veteran Tiger who's turning back the clock.
Like death and taxes, Dodger's been a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball in 15, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. Michael Beller and Al Melchior here with you on Thursday, August 12th, and let's dive into the news and notes. Fernando Tatis Jr. slated to be activated sometime this weekend and going to be seeing some time in the outfield, so adding a little bit of roster flexibility for his fantasy managers over the final month and a half and change of the season. Mookie Betts going to the IL with hip inflammation. Carlos Rodon also going to the IL with shoulder fatigue. Ronaldo Lopez started in Minnesota on Wednesday through three scoreless innings. Probably nothing more than an ale-only and streamer sort of guy at this stage of the game. Yasmani Grandal started a rehab assignment with AA Birmingham on Wednesday, so White Sox should be getting him back relatively soon. Bo Bichette sat on Wednesday with shin contusions. Javier Baez did the same because of lower back tightness. Javier Baez's teammate, Francisco Lindor, took batting practice on Wednesday, so maybe he can get back in the lineup soon, dealing with that oblique issue. JT Realmuto exited the game against the Dodgers after taking consecutive foul balls to the mask, underwent a test for concussion. His teammate, Andrew McCutchen, was activated, so good to have McCutchen back in the lineup. We talked about the Akil Baddoo and Derek Hill collision in the outfield from a couple of days ago. Talked about that yesterday. Both of them now on the IL, Baddoo on the concussion IL, Derek Hill on the regular IL with a ribcage contusion. Avisail Garcia left against the Cubs after being hit by the pitch. He has a bruised hand. Roddy Tellez also left that game because of right knee discomfort. Jared Walsh is back, all recovered from that intercostal injury. He is back in the lineup. Jose Iglesias sat to make room for him. He had Gosselin at second, David Fletcher at shortstop, so we're going to see how Joe Maddon mix and matches those pieces, moves people around to get everyone some playing time. Kyle Schwarber could be starting a rehab assignment on Thursday, should be starting a rehab assignment soon, whether or not it is Thursday. Johnny Cueto going to the IL with a flexor strain. Anthony DeSclafani will be activated, however, to take a spot in the rotation on Friday. He'll get the ball against Colorado. And Corbin Burnes tied the MLB record, 10 consecutive strikeouts against the Cubs. Get used to against the Cubs coming with things like that. Josh Hader's going to be activated on Thursday. He'll come off the COVID list. Matt Barnes, still the closer in Boston, but he's going to be getting a couple of days off. But mostly a nothing-to-see-here situation for Barnes managers. And Diego Castillo in the top of the eighth again against Texas. Drew Steckenrider getting the ninth inning. So Castillo, if you're in a saves-are-all-that-matters sort of league, Al, is he cuttable?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I would qualify that and say it really depends on, if you're saying saves that all are all that matters, then I'm assuming there's some scarcity there. And I think Castillo will be getting his share. I think that the upshot here is that with Steckenrider in the mix, that those saves are going to get spread around. I've got Paul Sewald in a 15 teamer. I was thinking of cutting him. I'm not going to do that now because, he's, probably a part of that mix.
All right, let's get on to Wednesday's standouts. Joey Votto, 4-for-5 and 2 home runs. I mean, he hadn't homered in 4 days, so it's like, all right, Joey, come on, man. Let's go. Get it going, Joey. He did it with two homers, and you like to see someone get back on track. Just an unbelievable run that Joey Votto remains on. 10-for-23 homers and 2 doubles in his last 20 trips to the plate. Al, I mean, what more do we say about this resurgence from Joey Votto?
I mean, it's incredible because he had, about 5 days where he cooled off and was just, a regular human baseball player. now he's back at it again. So I doubt anybody is benching him, but yeah, clearly needs to be starting once again.
And just something to talk about, because I mean, when he's 38 and this sort of just bounce back monster season for Joey Votto, I would love to see the Reds maybe sneak into the playoffs if they could find a way in. But what a year Joey Votto has had. Cody Bellinger with a 2-home run game. He's got 9 on the season, 10 for his last 30 with 4 home runs. Al, is he back in the circle of trust?
Oh, he is for me. Just needed to see some period work. He looked like Cody Bellinger again. And I give you credit, because every time I would put the question to you, you know, do you sit him? And you were steadfast that you don't sit Cody Bellinger. So if you did, and you did sit Cody Bellinger during the period when he was slumping and slumping badly and slumping for a really long time, maybe that worked out for you. But at this point, he's Cody Bellinger again, and you get him back in your lineup.
Yeah, feeling like that is finally in the rearview mirror. How about Lewis Brinson? Another 2-homer game to talk about here. He had a couple of bombs, went 3 for 4 in the game against the Padres. 16 for his last 37 with 4 homers. Where are we thinking that Lewis Brinson should be playing in fantasy leagues?
I'm thinking that, I will say I'm not in a definitive place with this yet, but I'll certainly over the weekend be looking at where he might fit in 12-team leagues. Because he is on just such a heater right now. And I mean, he's on an extreme heater over the last maybe week or so. But I mean, he's just generally been hitting better the last couple of months. So, I think it's something to look at and see how he measures up to maybe some alternative players that you might be considering, kind of on the bubble of 12-teamers. And so I think that it goes without saying that anything that's deeper than that, if Brinson's out there, he absolutely needs to be added and started.
Yeah, easy guy to get in to get on board with the way he's been swinging the bat recently. Adam Wainwright, a 2-hit shutout against the Pirates, no walks, 7 Ks, just vintage Wainwright. Also went 2 for 4 with a double at the plate, and I mean the guy has totally come back and given us a really strong season. He's got a 3.27 ERA this year, a 3.15 last year. I guess with him and Votto, it's old guys' day here on Fantasy Baseball in 15.
Oh, we're not done yet with old guys' day.
I know.
Coming up. But with Wainwright, this isn't exactly a news flash, because I mean, he's been really consistent all year. And as you mentioned, Michael, a pretty good season in the short season in 2020. Now, in both of those seasons, really low BABIP rates that probably, I'm going to say, he's not going to carry over into 2022. But that definitely is something that I'll need to dig into a little deeper, because that's a lot of innings now with him being a really good hit preventer, even when the ball's in play. So, I think that maybe we slept a bit collectively on Wainwright in 2021, and that's probably not going to happen next year.
Someone you did not sleep on yesterday was Tyler Anderson. You loved him as a streamer, 5 1/3, 6 hits. 1 run, no walks, 4 Ks against the Rangers. So good call, Al. I guess the actionable question here is, can he be more than a streamer, or is this just the spot that he's in for the remainder of the season?
Until we see otherwise, and I know we're kind of running out of time to wait for longer-term trends to avail themselves, but yeah, barring any evidence of the the alternative, I think that Anderson is a streamer, and this is a spot where anybody that is streamable gets streamed, because as we talked about on Wednesday's show, the Rangers have just been really abysmal at the plate.
Tarek Skubal, maybe he's a little bit more than a streamer again. 6 innings pitched against Baltimore, gave up 5 hits, no runs, 1 walk, fanned 6. So looking pretty good in that one. And also his last time out was a 5 scoreless innings against Boston. We know it's been an up and down season for him, Al, but the ups have been pretty good. The downs, not equally as bad. Now that he's on an upswing, is he someone who you think about as more than a streamer?
I think so. I think, with these back-to-back starts here, it's definitely something that you have to consider, because this is kind of a tough thing, Michael, because, every day on this show, we go through and we try to look at trends. We look at, individual performances, but then we try to fit them into larger trends. And in Skubal's case, when he's gone well, I had one narrative, and then more recently, when he hadn't been as good, I had the narrative of, well, he's going deep into the season, and he's getting tired. And, maybe sometimes we need to maybe not believe our own stories so much. He's got the Angels next week as part of what should be a 2-start week. That second start would be at Toronto. So I would actually probably shy away from it, not because of anything to do with Scooble, but just because, you know, at Toronto.
Right.
But in daily leagues, I would certainly feel really comfortable starting Scooble against the Angels.
All right, one more pitcher to talk about from Wednesday. It's Bailey Ober. He had a very nice game against the White Sox. Went 5 1/3, didn't give up any runs, 6 hits and a walk, fanned 6 in his last 4L. 19 2/3 innings pitched with a 2.75 ERA, 21 Ks against 4 walks. He's allowed 3 homers in that time, but certainly far more good than there has been bad. Is he someone you think about as potentially more than just a streamer right now?
For sure, but it sort of depends on the format, too. Like, I'm not really looking to pick up Bailey Ober in 12-teamers at this point. But even when things weren't going as well for him, the strikeout stuff has been there. It's been there for him in the minors. And so it's just a question of, is he going to be able to keep the ball in the park? He's been doing that over the last 4 starts. So that really puts him in a different category for me. So somebody that probably I'd be starting now week in, week out in deeper leagues.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, it's Thursday streamer time. Al, let's jump right in. Let's get right to it. Vladimir Gutierrez and Kyle Muller are going to get one another. Both streaming options, Braves and Reds. And just a heads up, I think that's an early game. I don't know. We got some early games, obviously, on Thursday. I think that was one of them. But you're going to want to jump on these quickly. Eli Morgan against the A's in his last 4 outings. He's looked pretty good with 23 Ks and 23 innings. Marco Gonzalez gets those Texas Rangers. He's the next guy up there. And Tanner Houck going against the Rays. Who do you like here?
Well, I like Kyle Muller against the Reds for sure. I think that Morgan starts really interesting, and it gives me a lot of different things to consider because, as you mentioned, Morgan's really been trending well. I've talked a lot in recent weeks about the A's being a good team to stream against. I think that's still the case here. The thing with Morgan, though, I kind of lump him in the same basket with Bailey Ober, because he's somebody who can certainly strike people out, but also has had a home run issue. Hasn't had that recently, but he has been giving up hard contact nonetheless. So might be a little bit of good luck for Eli Morgan. I'm kind of on the fence about this one, Michael. So I'd feel better about Kyle Muller, but if I've got to, you know, for whatever reason, I got to pick a second one, I would go with Morgan. Gonzalez also is kind of a borderline one for me. Like, where do you draw the line and who to stream against the Rangers? Uh-huh. Gonzalez, I don't just quite have that same level of confidence in him that I did have in Tyler Anderson. I'd probably pass there. Tanner Houck, I'm hoping will be streamable at some point. I just am concerned that he's not going to go deep enough in this one against the Rays.
Yeah, that just for clarification's sake, that Reds Braves game is an afternoon game, but not super early. That one's starting at 5:10 Eastern time. I had the other Ohio team on the brain. Cleveland does have a very early start here on getaway day. Let's get into the stock watch, Al, and let's start with the cherry on top of old guys day. Miguel Cabrera, 16 for his last 40 with 4 homers, 8 walks against 4 Ks. He's got 7 barrels and 39 batted ball events. Miguel Cabrera turning it back on. Shane McClanahan, young guy day, three ERA in his last 4 starts, 28 Ks in 24 innings, 7 walks, 2 homers allowed. Let's bask in the glory of old guys day here. Miguel Cabrera turning back the clock, Al.
Yeah, you know, and it's, I'd love to just be able to take this little stretch from Cabrera and say, you know, this is reason enough to go out and just go pick him up wherever. It would be a great story. I don't really have that level of confidence. But on the other hand, I mean, you can look at it as just it's a somewhat extended hot streak for him that he is backing up with that really high barrel rate. And also, as you mentioned, really good strikeout to walk ratio as well. So like everything's locked in for Miguel Cabrera right now. So if you wanted to make a hot hand play for at least 1 week, you know, I wouldn't blame you. And maybe I'll be doing that this weekend as well. I'm not sure it's anything more than that.
Yeah, it's probably no more than that, but still fun to see Miguel throwing it back to the good old Mickey days. On the downside, Harrison Bader's 7 for his last 44, 14 strikeouts against 3 walks. In that time, Casey Mize has thrown 32 innings in his last 7 starts, 23 Ks against 8 walks, 9 homers, and a 13.1% barrel rate in that stretch. Do you do anything with Bader or Mize as a result of these downturns?
I think Mize you bench. I suppose in shallower formats you probably can drop, because I think the key stat, which I think is kind of easy to overlook here, is 32 innings in his last 7 starts. So you do the math there. That's less than 5 innings per start. Yes. And you know, the Tigers organization, they told us this was going to happen. They were going to manage his innings. So he's pitching less deep into games, and the results haven't really been as good either. There's some disturbing indicators there in terms of the home runs and the barrel rate. So in shallower leagues, I guess you can drop Mize, and in the deeper ones, he's still benchable. And then as far as Harrison Bader goes, I suppose it's really the same thing. He had a nice run for a little while. He wasn't really necessarily backing it up with the good Statcast metrics. So now you're kind of seeing the fruit of that. Probably an overcorrection for Harrison Bader. But if you were playing the hot-handed shallow leagues, I think you can make room for somebody else at this point with his spot.
All right, and that's going to do it for this episode of Fantasy Baseball in 15. Rate, review, subscribe, all of that good and fun stuff. Al and I are back with you on Friday. It's a full slate of baseball. Go out there and enjoy. We'll talk to you soon.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.